You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The only daily Premier League podcast. This is Football Social Daily.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning and welcome to Wednesday's edition of the Football Social Daily. And if you're not feeling it this morning, if you're a bit tired, bit jaded, and if you've crashed straight into the hump of the week, then you need to go and grab yourself a cold can of Carabao. And luckily for you, right here on today's show, we are all about the Carabao. In part one, we're going to be looking backwards as last night saw the Premier League big boys finally join the Carabao party. Big wins for Manchester City, Liverpool and Leeds, but as expected and as always the case in the Cup, there was a few shocks. Everton bowed out on penalties against QPR and Watford lost to Stoke. But the Carabao action doesn't stop there, as in part two, we have ourselves three all Premier League ties on tonight. Manchester United, they're at home to West Ham. Chelsea take on Aston Villa. And Nuno finds himself back at Molineux again for the second time this month as Spurs take on Wolves. And then to wrap things up, in part three, we'll be taking a look at a major story breaking overnight that concerns England. FIFA have confirmed their punishment for the Hungarian national team following racist fan chanting against the Three Lions in their World Cup qualifier earlier this month. Right then, absolutely plenty to get through, stacks to talk about. My name's Fergal Brennan, and on Wednesday duty today, we have the man who describes himself as Mr. Wednesday. We have Mr. Ian Brannan. Ian, how's things?
Yeah, full of the midweek fun. That's why I'm Mr. Wednesday. Yo.
And alongside Ian on the Wednesday chair today, we also have Manchester City fan and Wednesday regular, Matt Pitt. Matt, how's things?
I'm for the Wednesday chair as well, guys.
Great stuff. That's what we like to hear. That's what we want to hear on Wednesday. Matt, we're going to go to you first. Manchester City cruised on through to the next round of the Carabao Cup. 6-1 win at home to Wickham. Pep Guardiola's made no secret of how seriously he takes this competition. He absolutely loves it. He loves the Carabao. Four straight wins for City. All pretty straightforward last night. Little bit of a wobble as you did go 1-0 behind to Wickham. But in the end, this was an absolute demolition from City.
Yeah, it was, and here's a little one for the mathematicians out there. City's entire back four last night had a combined age of 72, which makes them all at 18 years old, which was, obviously, it was an interesting stat there. And the lad that stood out for me was Wilson Esbrand. He was great in possession. He looked really comfortable on the ball. And the assist for Mahrez was absolutely fantastic. Some lovely touches on the touchline there, and he fired it into him. Mahrez put it in the net. You know, and maybe our left-back problem isn't as bad as we first initially feared with him coming in last night. I know it's only Wickham in the Carabao Cup, but he was fantastic, and he could have quite easily shrunk last night when they went 1-0 down. But now all of them, to a man, all of that back four were absolutely excellent, and he completely justified their selection. And you know, they'll be absolutely buzzing with last night. Good 6-1 win, good all-round team performance. And you know, coming up against a very, very physical Wickham side with Akinfenwa up front, you know, it's no easy task. They're never going to play against another centre-forward like him probably the rest of their careers, you know, and they deserve absolutely all the praise they're getting. De Bruyne, he looks sharp, you know, he scored the equaliser, his passing was on point. Foden showing his class with a great goal, absolute cracker, and he scored got a couple of assists as well, you know, one of those for Ferran Torres. He continues to show why he's being considered, you know, thought of more as a number nine these days. He has such clever movement, you know, he can create space for others while being able to put the ball in the net himself. And rounding off was Cole Palmer with a wonderful individual effort. You know, he's a big future for him at the club if he keeps up these levels. You know, it's another City fan coming through the academy, which from a fan's perspective, it's up there with one of the best things you can see. Yeah, the defence of the cup, it's off to a flyer.
And obviously, when you look at these situations, Matt, in terms of the Carabao Cup balance with the FA Cup, Champions League, Premier League, there's a huge amount of football for Man City to play this season. And Guardiola knows that. He's going to have to balance his squad and make sure he can rely on these young players. And the stat that you pointed out there of the teenage years of the back four, and then obviously dotted around with a bit of experience, the likes of Mahrez and Foden in the mix of it. Are you confident in these young lads that if Pep continues to wheel them out for Carabao Cup games, potentially when the FA Cup gets underway in January, that they can hold their own, that when maybe some of the more established stars need a break or need to be rotated out, they can step up and make sure that City keep on winning?
Absolutely. I mean, part of the reason last night was due to injuries to key players. But listen, this is why we build the academies, you know, that we have, you know, so these players can come in and do the business when needed to. And the only way they're going to gain experience in matches is by playing matches, not just like under 23 level and stuff like that. No, they need to be coming in and playing these cup games against these kind of sides. You know, it builds up confidence, and it gets them ready for these kind of physical affairs. You know, the ones that you are going to get in these Carabao Cup ties, FA Cup ties against the lower league opposition, and it can only do wonders for them. This is, like I said, this is why we build the academies that we have. And these players, you know, they've all got dreams. They all want to break through to the first team of Manchester City, and Pep Guardiola would have had his arm around each and every one of them lads last night saying well done. And that's something that they need. They need to know that they're being appreciated and that they're being noticed for the hard work that they're putting in, you know. And Jason Wilcox, he's worked wonders with the young lads, and it's credit to him as well. And this is why we build squads. This is why we have the academies. This is why Pep Guardiola wants to win every single competition possible, because he has got the squad and he has got the ways and means to do so, and he'll be definitely aiming to do that again this season.
Just looking across some of the other results, Ian, we're going to go to you on Leeds. Not as smooth for Marcelo Bielsa's side last night as it was for City. No 6-1 victory. 6-5, technically, on penalties to go through against Fulham. 0-0 in normal time. And Ilan Meslier saving that key penalty from Rodrigo Muniz to get Leeds through to the next round. This is, again, a bit of a balancing act for Bielsa and Leeds, but in a different way. It's obviously been a difficult start to the Premier League season. And Leeds, for me, kind of fall into that bracket of, they want a cup run because they want a trophy, but maybe they don't necessarily, because Premier League is a difficult beast to wrestle with, and the start of the season hasn't been great, and Leeds maybe want to have their focus just directly on the league?
Well, yeah, priority, of course, is going to be the Premier League for whatever happens in that league. Whether it, I don't see Leeds being in a relegation fight, all being well. But I think for this match yesterday, the important thing was getting a result, because this is Leeds' longest losing streak since Bielsa took over, 5 matches. And so to get a win in any form or a decent performance, or at least not get beat, was important. But I think what we're seeing in this competition, maybe more than we have previous years, is that now we're seeing very much in a similar sort of vein of Man City, a mix of youth and experience being blended together. And the two teams, Leeds and Man City, have a lot in common in terms of Bielsa and Guardiola, but also Jason Wilcox, a Leeds United legend in his own right as well. You know, there are links there. We've seen that. Jack Harrison, of course, a product of that, of that sort of friendship between the two clubs. But Leeds, over the last two or three seasons have been signing a lot of players that have gone straight into the under-23s, and it's kind of become a joke that whenever Leeds sign any player, and when it was like, you know, Dan James being rumoured, it was people were putting on Twitter, go straight into the under-23s, because that seems to be where all the players have gone. And so they've harvested these players, and particularly Geldert, who came off the bench, who was an exciting talent for Wigan. They signed him and then not seen anything of him since. Craig Somerville, who's now broken into the team, the Dutch lad who's had a couple of first team appearances off the bench now, played again last night. You know, these are all really exciting talents, and Leeds's business model, if you like, is to worry less about the transfer market and grow their own and not to sell them. You know, grow proper talent. And we've seen that with Calvin Phillips. He's the first one to come through, get a place in the team and hold that down. And now, you know, I think Geldart is the next one that people are really excited about. You know, you're talking potentially here a proper world-class player that Leeds have got young before the other teams have spotted him. They're nurturing him and they've got him on a nice big long contract. So if anybody comes in, it's going to cost him an absolute arm and a leg. But he is a frightening talent, apparently, and has ripped up the under-23s league. So it was good to get them into the main side and sort of integrated and hold their own against a Fulham side. And yes, they changed quite a lot of their lineup. People are saying, you know, 11 changes and so on. But still, you look at that Fulham team, that's still a good Championship team. You know, good workout. And I think ultimately it's about getting through. Not a bad result, and just gives a bit of confidence. And yeah, it's the Carabao Cup. I don't think Bielsa will lose any sleep about going out of it, but don't underestimate the fact that don't think he's not taking it seriously, because Bielsa takes everything seriously. I mean, you know, pre-season matches against the you know, Conference League sides, he has teams doing 6-7 full match video analysis of. So it is obviously going to be taken seriously, because that's not how Bielsa works. But yeah, is it a priority? No. Is it being taken seriously? Yes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, looking at some of the other results, Matt, I'm going to throw this one back to you. Liverpool 3-0 win against Norwich. Pretty straightforward, not as straightforward as City winning 6-1, but Liverpool, based on the results last night, are probably the closest to City in this arms race of young players. And Jurgen Klopp flipped things around, brought in a couple of teenagers, looked to freshen things up a bit. And what I wanted to ask you, in terms of City and the comparison with City, are Liverpool the closest in terms of being able to roll in four or five teenagers to cover for first team players in cup games? Liverpool, just like City, are fighting across four fronts. They want to make a fist of it in each competition that they're in. They do look to have a nice, healthy stock of young players that they can bring in and that Klopp can rely on in these games.
Yeah, definitely. Liverpool have had quite a few young talents come through the team. Obviously, like Trent Alexander-Arnold's one of the prime examples of that. And Klopp in general, even when he was at Dortmund, he loved bringing in the youth players, like players like Mario Götze and stuff like that. He's well renowned for it, so it doesn't surprise me that he's doing that at Liverpool. And you know, it's one of these when you've got a team that wants to win everything, because Klopp, listen, even though maybe he doesn't prioritise the Carabao Cup maybe as much as Pep Guardiola does, he's still going to want to win it. If he gets into the quarterfinals, once you get to that quarterfinal stage, it starts to become real then. Your fans get a day out at Wembley, it's a trophy in the cabinet, and it's a springboard onto bigger and better things. He'll definitely have his eye on it if he gets himself to the latter stages. City and Liverpool's both respective academies are both brilliant, and they're both producing, you know, fantastic players coming through it, which can only be good for the Premier League and obviously internationals as well, because England, you know, they've got a manager there that seems to like to pick the younger players over the more experienced players right now. So yeah, it was there was an interesting thing about that 16-year-old last night, you know, earning 100k, you know, off one game. You know, when I was 16 years old, the only 100k I was earning was virtual money doing missions on Grand Theft Auto. So, you know, fair play to him. Fair play to Liverpool as well, playing the younger lads in the Carabao Cup and giving them a chance.
Yeah, that's definitely one that can get filed in the grumpy older man section. Kaide Gordon, Derby pocketed $100,000 just for him playing for Liverpool last night. Part of their deal, because he's made a first team appearance before his 17th birthday. $100,000. Can't be bad. Ian, we're going to flip to the blue side of Merseyside, because positive stuff for Liverpool getting through, but disappointment for Everton out on penalties against QPR. And this will rankle with Everton fans because Rafa Benitez, the ultimate pragmatist, came out in his post-game press conference and said that he understood their frustration, but the focus is on the Premier League. Everton haven't won a trophy since 1996 when they won the FA Cup, and I don't need to remind Everton fans of that because they know full well that that is the situation. And looking at their cup record over the last couple of seasons, it's been a couple of quarter-final appearances here, there and everywhere, but generally speaking they've come up short because managers have constantly told them we need to concentrate on the league. And this will be frustrating, but maybe ultimately from an Everton fan's perspective they'll look at last night and go, well, we knew what was coming, we probably shouldn't have got our hopes up.
I don't know. I think that where with Leeds, they've got a young side and all that, and it's one of those where the blending, I mean, some of the players were making their first appearance. I think with Everton are in that bracket of wanting to do better, in the mix for a top six finish. I mean, Leeds got there more by luck than judgment last season, but with Everton, with the investment that they've made and the players they've got, they should be doing well in competitions like that. They should be getting a result against QPR. It's the magic of the cup and all that, but yeah, they just lack confidence, I think, as well. When it came to the penalties, I watched the penalty shootout and you could just see that guy was going to miss. You could just see it. Just the fact that he looked like a rabbit in the headlights, didn't march up there with any confidence, and you knew what was going to happen next. Absolutely. And it comes down to confidence in that. And I don't know whether they thought they were going to walk it or they don't really care, but they should care. They are, this is the kind of competition that Everton should be putting a performance in. So it's different for them. I mean, there are clubs that you could say, absolutely, like I'd say for Leeds, I'll say, yeah, it's a bonus. I don't think that anybody would ever said that, we should be doing well in that kind of competition because that's not where they're at the minute. In a few years, that might be the case. But for Everton, yeah, big disappointment there. And especially to they were chasing the game throughout anyway. It just seems like it was not a great day at the office at all. So seems to be more psychological, I think, there for Everton. Whether they thought they would win it, whether they didn't care, whatever. But certainly confidence was lacking.
They should care, shouldn't they? They've not won a trophy for years, man.
I know. And that's the thing. This is the thing. For them, it is a thing because we know that Everton are one of these teams that are used to going out and taking part in these competitions and winning. I mean, we think back to the 1980s of the Liverpool-Everton FA Cup finals and, Everton were always there or thereabouts at one point, and it must be frustrating for them. And yes, they've never been relegated and they're one of the original Premier League teams and yada yada, but, they are a team that are in danger, a bit like Spurs in many ways, of always being nearly men. And, they've got the manager now with Rafa, you think that they would do better. Disappointing start, really, for them because they had that opportunity there to have something. I mean, it's still the early doors of round three, so round four next, and I mean it's the quickest competition that's over, isn't it? It's all done by February, but I was surprised, really, but I was surprised that it got to a penalty shootout, but not surprised that they lost the penalty shootout. Just seeing the body language of the players, really.
Yeah, disappointment for Everton, obviously bowing out. We're going to take a quick break, but before we do, just going to rattle through some of the other Premier League results from the third round last night. Brentford continued their fairy tale start to the season, 7-0 at home to Oldham. Burnley, as much as Sean Dyche pretends that he doesn't like the cup competitions, are also through, 4-1 against Rochdale. Leeds, we've already touched on, are through. Manchester City are through. Liverpool are through. Everton are out. Southampton, they snuck themselves through, penalty shootout win away at Sheffield United, but Watford have joined Everton in bowing out at the third round stage. Right, that's it for part one. We're going to take a quick break. After the break, we're going to be previewing the next block of Carabao Cup fixtures. Tonight, we have three juicy all Premier League affairs. We'll catch you in a second.
Football's Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode. Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello and welcome back to Wednesday's edition of the Football Social Daily. Today we are all about the Carabao. The Carabao Cup, the big boys got involved last night. Big wins, but also a few shocks. Now we're going to look ahead to tonight's action. Three all Premier League ties: Chelsea, Aston Villa, Manchester United, West Ham and Wolves against Spurs. Chelsea against Villa is where we're going to get ourselves kicked off. Matt, you've got a bit of an interest in this one because Chelsea take on your boys Manchester City this weekend. So, balancing act for City and Pep Guardiola last night. It's going to be a balancing act for Chelsea tonight and Thomas Tuchel. So, Matt, given the fact that we've got a 3-4 day turnaround before Thomas Tuchel faces a massive game against City this weekend, how does he play his hand? He can't go completely with a B team because they're against Villa, who are a Premier League side, but he knows this weekend against City is the big one.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Chelsea and Villa both coming off impressive wins over the weekend. You know, they'll both be on a high, but it basically depends on whether their, you know, respective coaches and like value this competition enough, you know, to play sort of strong sides. You know, obviously there'll be changes, but you know, especially for Chelsea with them playing us, like you said, you know, early on Saturday. You know, maybe it'll be like what we did last night. You know, a mixture of youth and experience. That's generally what you see the big boys do, especially when they've got a big game at the weekend in the league. You know, Villa, they've not won a trophy, you know, since 1996. You know, Villa fans desperate for a trophy in the cabinet now. You know, they've got a side that spent, you know, money from the Jack Grealish transfer. They've got some big ambitions. Dean Smith, you know, being a Villa fan, you know, he'd love nothing more than to bring that back to Villa, you know, and put a trophy in the cabinet. And so I don't see any reason why he won't play his strongest side available. You know, the Carabao Cup, it's still a major trophy. You know, it's the less thought of major trophy out the four that you can win, really, in retrospect. But you know, it's like I said before, it can be the springboard to bigger and better things in your season. You know, you win it in February and it can drive you on for the rest of the season then. But yeah, Chelsea, it's one of them with Chelsea. They've got us at weekend and they're going to try and rest as many players as possible. But I still think Tuchel, you know, with the squad that he's built there, I think he's going to want to win as many trophies as he possibly can. So why shouldn't he play his strongest side available tonight? You know, he's got eye on the weekend, but no, I can see Chelsea playing some of their bigger boys tonight.
I mean, from what I've seen, that the changes are going to be. There are going to be changes, clearly, but I think they're going to be fairly minimal, as you're saying. It'll still be a strong side, but you know, an opportunity for Chelsea, Ben Chilwell, who's been out of favour a bit, might come in. Edouard Mendy and Pulisic are doubtful for Chelsea because they missed out on the win at Tottenham, so I think they're going to still be out. But still, you know, some strong players involved: Werner, Hudson-Odoi, Ziyech, and all that kind of crowd. So it's still going to be a strong lineup. And then for Aston Villa, Buendia, who of course has been in and out of the side, but came off the bench against Everton, and they reckon Morgan Sanson's going to get maybe a rare start for Villa as well. So, you know, it's those fringe players really that are probably going to get a chance to come in, but the much of the general lineup are going to still hang on in there, all being well. So it is going to be competitive with tweaks.
Yeah, absolutely. That's ultimately what Ollie is going to be judged on at Man United, is his success. Yes, he spent a lot of money, but we know nowadays when managers spend a lot of money, that's what's expected. The trophies in the cabinet. And United have not won anything now for 4 years. The last thing they won was the Europa League, you know, and that was the end of 2017. So they need to push on. They need to start putting the trophies in the cabinet. Otherwise, you know, we've seen it happen with Ollie before. He loses a couple of games or he goes out of a competition and immediately questions start getting asked. And, you know, from a City fans' perspective, it's not that bad seeing that happen. But look, at the end of the day, I respect Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as a player. And, you know, as a manager, it's not nice to see anyone lose the job. And, you know, he's got the squad there now that he can't be making excuses now. He's got Cristiano Ronaldo up front banging in the goals. I can't see him playing tonight. I can see him being rested and maybe Cavani taking his place. But, you know, West Ham, they're going to provide tough opposition. West Ham will want revenge from the weekend. You know, they got beat in such dramatic circumstances. You know, and West Ham as well, you know, they've not won a trophy for a long time. They're going to be hungry for one as well. So why can't they, you know, play a strong side and, you know, maybe just go for it? They've got nothing to lose. I'd expect Antonio to return tonight, and, you know, he was out with a suspension over weekend, so it'll be a tough fixture for him. And if United go through, they're into the fourth round, and you know they're that one step closer to a day out at Wembley and possibly a trophy in the cabinet.
Yeah, and it's already been confirmed that Jesse Lingard's going to start the match as well at Old Trafford. So, as you say, you know, it's revisiting old rivalries from just a matter of days ago. But also Alex Telles and Anthony Elanga have been added to the squad as well. So it does look like a mixture of youth and experience for the cup, and it's going to be interesting. It's got Jesse Lingard having his moment once again written all over it, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, great stuff. Two big Premier League or all Premier League ties tonight. Last Premier League tie that we're going to touch on, Ian, throw this one over to you. Nuno Santo back at Wolves for the second time this month with Spurs. Victory in the Premier League, 1-0 win at Molineux. This is an interesting one because he was fantastic when he was at Wolves, got them back-to-back European finishes. That's never happened for Wolves before. He left, went to Spurs, and there's a lot of positivity from Wolves surrounding him, but there does seem to be a bit coming from him that he wasn't happy about the way he was treated in his final days at the club. Do you think maybe he has a little bit of a point to prove to them?
I would say that if there is a fixture in the among them all that has a comedy sound effect that goes whiz and potential banana skin written all over it, then this is probably it. Because we were talking last week about Nuno and how he was not the first choice for the Spurs job. And maybe that kind of rankles him a little bit. And so he's got a point to prove at Spurs, but he's also got this point to prove against Wolves as well to kind of justify why he went there. So you kind of hope that, yeah, he's obviously got the point to prove because Spurs have not had the best start ever to a season. He's sort of found it tough. But yeah, there's just so many kind of, aside the result that he needs to get, it's a funny one. He's got to prove both points. He's kind of got to justify why he's the right choice for Spurs at the same time of justify why he's not the right choice for Wolves. It is a bizarre one, but at the same time has this thing written all over it, the headline of Nuno going back with Spurs and getting walloped by Wolves. It just has that written all over it for me. I hope I'm wrong for his benefit, but it does seem to be there's a lot of it's going to be a tricky one, potentially tricky atmosphere as well from the crowd, of course, now too.
Yeah, we're going to call it there for part two, and that's the end of the Carabao Cup action, reviews and previews all pocketed and sorted. Obviously, three all Premier League clashes tonight, but there's some other Premier League interest. Brighton at home to Swansea and Leicester away at Millwall, along with newly improved Arsenal at home to AFC Wimbledon. Right, we're going to grab a quick break. After the break, we're going to be focusing on England. FIFA have confirmed their punishment for Hungary following racist chanting during their World Cup qualifier earlier this month. We're going to be dipping into that after the break.
Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk. Football's Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.
Hello and welcome back to Wednesday's edition of the Football Social Daily. We've covered the Carabao Cup. Now we are taking a quick focus on international action. Ian, going to go to you on this because FIFA have confirmed their punishment for the Hungarian national team following racist chanting during their World Cup qualifier with England in Budapest on September 2nd. We all remember the scenes of beer cups being thrown at England players, racist chanting, all very unpleasant and unsavoury scenes. And UEFA and FIFA have got together and they've come with a kind of joint statement and joint stance on this. The Hungarian Football Federation have been fined £158,000. They've been ordered to play their next two games behind closed doors, but the second ground closure has been suspended for 2 years. The big question here is, this is the fourth said suspension that Hungary have been given in their last six qualification campaigns. Fourth fine, incrementally that's gone up each time. But realistically, what we're seeing here is a weak message and an FA and a fan base that are just not learning.
Yeah, it's just the same again, and it needs to stop. Why is it a suspended ground closure? Why ground closures, playing behind closed doors, makes no difference. You know, most of Europe played behind closed doors for an entire season, right? And everything was fine. Football still happened. This needs to punish the fans to the point that they don't have a team to support, that they don't have a place to go and throw these things at players or rival fans or whatever it is. You know, when there was trouble with English clubs in the 1980s, what happened to the English clubs? We were thrown out of European competition for a few years, right? That was how you punish a nation. They did it to us. So why are we like just kind of happy that they get fined £100,000, which, by the way, is nothing in the world of football, is it? It's like 10 pence equivalent. It's like, oh, so what? Shrug their shoulders, play behind closed doors, so what? Nobody comes anyway. Apart from these morons who throw stuff so apart from the idiots, it's just like they basically said, okay, for two matches, your idiots can't come in, but after that, they can come back in again. What needs to happen is that either for those two matches, Hungary should be hit with a 5-0 loss or something like that. So, you know, that's points that they can't get, makes it harder for them when they actually are in a competition, or it should be that they're out. Done. Yeah, that's it. You're out of the World Cup. Simple as that. Out of the World Cup. And you're out of the next Euros as well. And if anything else happens when we do let your fans in, you'll be out of every competition every time it happens. And if that means that you're banned from competitions until 2046, then so be it. You know, and that's the only way you're going to get this message across, is by consequences, not by fines. Fines in football, there's too much money in football, doesn't make any difference. It's only by consequences. Closing a ground for a day is not it. It needs to be for a tournament or banned from the World Cup for however long. Or, you know, that's where they're at. Because every time, it's not the first time. All right, if it was a one-off and it was a few loons that had got in, you could kind of argue it. But it's not. It's every single time. And it needs to happen to not just Hungary, but the other nations that do this as well.
Matt, would you agree on that when we look at in terms of how UEFA and FIFA deal with these things? Ian's obviously said that we've kind of reached a breaking point in terms of how these things are dealt with. Do you think this is the only way to move forward? Full-on bans, competition bans, qualification campaign bans, because it's the only way that the message really gets through.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better than what Ian did. That is the only way that these absolute morons are going to learn. Because, like you're saying, what's the fine going to do? It doesn't strike fear into them at all. If you tell them fans, look, if you carry on doing this, you're not going to get to watch your country in a World Cup or in a European Championship for X amount of years. That might wake them up a little bit. Like, look, lads, we need to maybe wind it in a little bit. You know, keep that stuff behind closed doors. If that's your opinion on, you know, people are due to the colour of their skin or whatever, keep that at home. If that's what you want to talk about, do it at home. Do not bring it onto an international stage, and do not do it on stages like this, because it's an embarrassment to your country and it's also an embarrassment to yourselves. You know, and I can't believe we're still talking about it. It seems like these countries are so far behind the times. You know, they've gone back. You know what I mean? There's no forward progression. They just keep going backwards. It's like they're going back in evolution. They just need to stop. And FIFA need to, and whoever the powers that be, UEFA, they need to really put the foot down and stop it with these pussyfooting around it with these fines and these threats. Start coming through with it. Start actually putting your words into practice and start banning these countries from these tournaments if it's going to carry on like this. Because it doesn't paint a pretty picture for them neither. Imagine that at a World Cup or a European Championship. They're going to be raging, aren't they? So why risk that happening with these countries that have got these fans that are like this and just ban them? It's as simple as that. Just threaten them with a ban if it happens again. And you'll see change, I guarantee you'll see change if that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I think you are right in saying it's very irritating and frustration that we're still talking about this. Ugly, ugly scenes. FIFA have made their stance, but I think it's fair to say every football fan will be annoyed that it doesn't go far enough. Right, gents, we're going to call it there for Wednesday's edition of the Football Social Daily. Matt, Ian, thanks so much for your time.
Cheers, Fergal.
Cheers, thank you.
Great stuff, guys. And we'll be back here tomorrow reviewing tonight's Carabao Cup action. Don't forget to tune in then, and we'll speak to you very, very soon.
Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.